When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Going back into time, the real world, MTV, and John Brennan is coming to see us. I just walked in the door, sent him to the green room to get tuned up. Excited. It's for my first time to meet him. And he's an Owensboro, Kentucky kid.
Oh, I know.
So yeah. We've got that in common, that whole Kentucky connection. I mean, you worked there in Owensboro.
Got married there. Yeah.
Well, there's that.
There's that. I remember going to the courthouse, and they said it'll be $36.50 cash to get our marriage license. And I said, do we need a blood test? And she said, no. And I said,
well, we already know you're related. You're in Kentucky, ma'am.
She said, how do you know we're not related? And she looked at me like with this disgusted look, and she goes, you're not, are you? And I said, well, no. And she said, okay, $36.50 cash.
5 million people, six last names. I mean, come on.
We're all related somehow.
So how old were you when you got married?
I was a child bride. I don't remember. It was 20-something.
Oh, an old maid.
Yeah.
By Kentucky standards. Come on, Loretta.
Yeah.
Let's get with the program.
Loretta had four kids by the time I got married. So, yeah, I was really slacking.
Oh, that's Kelly Sutton. And we're going back to the stage of the Grand Ole Opry with Michael Ray, Whiskey and Rain in a little bit. And going to open with John Party and Luke Bryan together. But what you working on?
All right. So we've got, it's like a new music bonanza. We've got new music from Morgan Wallen, new music from George Strait, which is very cool. And we're also going to touch on new music from Randy Travis. We'll pull that out of the hat. So we've been talking about that here internally. So we can talk about that coming up in just a little bit.
This is Coffee, Country, and Cody.
John Brennan, it has been a little over 30 years ago since you came into our lives and living rooms on MTV. And here you are in our country music living room at WSM Radio this morning. So great to see you, man.
I like this one better. I've always wanted to be in this living room. This is less stressful.
We do have cameras, though. There. Just to make you feel at home.
So we were just talking about Owensboro. You and Kelly have so much in common. I have some connections to Owensboro, but
yeah.
Kelly was
married there. Yeah,
did you work in Owensboro or Evansville?
I did. So we had an Owensboro bureau. I was hired by the Evansville station.
You were like a foreign correspondent.
I was across the bridge in Owensboro, but we also had a local. It was really interesting and very unique, and I was so blessed that I got to start there really as a reporter, because we had our own local newscast that we did on Channel 8, which was the cable channel. He knows the
very
cable
well.
Channel in Owensboro. So we would do our own Owensboro newscast, and then we would send stories over for the big newscast from Evansville. But I got married there. We had our pre-reception was a moonlight barbecue.
So. Well, you've already started the barbecue argument over who's got the best barbecue, because that's very important in Owensboro.
Yeah. It is. There's some bragging rights, and
they're both great, and I explained to her, I know the owners of both establishments, so I just eat at both places.
Which is solid.
Because Western Kentucky, mutton, people don't realize.
Yes. And burgoo.
Right. Oh, Kentucky burgoo.
I had never had burgoo till we moved there, and I was like, that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, there's so much more barbecue to eat than just burgoo, so I don't waste stomach space on it. People love it. I go for the meat.
That's good. Yeah.
So Owensboro to Belmont, this whole entertainment journey begins for you in life. I mean, it changed about as dramatically as one life could change while you were at Belmont. And how did MTV find you? Did you audition?
No, I didn't audition. You have to, whenever I tell the story, you have to take yourself back to 1992. So you had to, Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks, Vince Gill took over not just the country music scene, but the entertainment scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people were wanting country music that were not interested in it prior to that. And MTV, in fact, said, we got to have a country guy, because country's what's happening. So go to Belmont or go to Nashville and find some unknown singer. And I was downtown at the old convention center where they were taping an NBC special, The Countdown at the Neon Armadillo, which was really the basement of our convention center. And and I was just there in the middle of the night. You know, they were trying to keep the crowd there. And the crowd warm-up person, who I knew very well, came up and said, "Hey, are you a singer?" I'm like, "Goldie, it's me." And and I've sang for you for like 10 years. And she's
not
like,
Goldie from
Goldie from Owensboro.
Oh, Goldie and Little Opry.
And Devin O'Day were the crowd warm-up people.
Oh, how about that?
And she said, "Shut up and sing a song."
Yeah, you know?
I sang something a cappella, and a guy comes up to me and says, "So, you want to be on this MTV show?" I said, "No." Yeah. "Surely you saw this in New York, and it's an experiment. It's a reality show." I'm like, "What's a reality show?"
Yeah.
And, they live in the house together. And I said, no, I'm not an actor. I'm a singer. I know. That's what we want. And I just blew him off. And he said, "You're perfect. You're stubborn. You're rude." You know, and
you were a strong Christian.
Yeah, still am. And always will be.
And that played into the dynamic.
I didn't realize how much that was going to play in.
They were kind of setting you up.
Yeah, they were setting me up.
Yeah. Not kind of. They did set
they
you up.
They set me up. I was 18 years old, and the rest of my roommates were 23, 24, 25. And so, you know, I had to have this conversation with my parents. "You know that really expensive, awesome school you sacrificed to get me into? Yeah, I'm going to drop out and join the circus." Well, actually, MTV, that channel that you had blocked from the cable.
And, right.
And you mentioned New York was season one, so you're going to Los Angeles for season two.
Season two in Los Angeles.
Had you ever been to Los Angeles?
As a small kid, I think we went to Disneyland because, you know, I can tell you now because my dad's in heaven, but my dad was an FBI agent. So I'm a Kentucky boy, but I was actually born in Wisconsin, and we lived in Phoenix, Arizona when I was really little. So we went over for Disneyland. But now I'm 18 years old wearing, you know, cowboy boots and cowboy hat on Venice Beach on MTV. And
look
I'm,
at that, you know, picture right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
That's me on the show. That's actually
that's
in the
prime
house.
Prime country right there.
That is a Garth Brooks shirt right there from
is.
The 90s. Yes.
Anybody else from that family, that television family that we know today?
Yes. My roommate Tammy is all over television still. She went on to VH1. That's how you know you're an old reality star, when you go from MTV to VH1. And that, I mean, she was on Basketball Wives, which was a huge show, and she's on the Miss Pat show. She's on BET shows. She's back on MTV with a show called Unfaithful, if you remember the old Cheaters.
Oh, yeah.
So it's still trash TV, but
Charlie's more of a snapped man.
No, my wife is more of a snap person, which is even scarier. It's about wives who kill their husbands.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, but they've got
I've seen that.
They've got it coming. They always have it coming.
Oh, it's always deserved.
Well, I'm sure I do, but still, I don't want it to happen.
She's over there with a notepad writing things down. So how did the real world change your life? Because that is we didn't know what reality TV was.
Right.
We didn't know what it was going to be like on the other side.
Right.
For
and
people.
It was
give me that foot in the door in country music that you wanted?
It did. I came directly back to Nashville because that was the sell. Hey, John, before you say no to this, think about what this can do. You're going to be a household face and name for a little while. And not anymore. I drive Uber now, so I'm totally anonymous. But, you know, I came back to Nashville and thought, hey, that's half the battle is getting your name and face out there as a new artist. And so people are like, it's the guy from MTV. And I started getting opportunities to open for Alabama at state fairs. I did a lot of fairs where I was headlining by myself, and people were just coming to see, not because they'd heard a hit record, but they'd seen a guy, that's the guy from MTV. That's the guy for the real world. And I mean, for a little while, I was famous for most all of the 90s. Couldn't go anywhere without, you're the guy from the real world. And that slowly wore off. But I had a lot of opportunities. And I mean, I had a record deal for a while. And, you know, I had a lot going on.
Who were some of the artists you work with?
So, my favorite was Neil McCoy.
Absolutely.
There's no reason he shouldn't have been Entertainer of the Year for dozens of years, because he is an entertainer.
I tell people every year at every award show, write in Neil McCoy, Entertainer of the Year.
Should be.
Nobody can
touch
him.
I mean,
well, you know, Blake Shelton, when Blake was leaving The Voice, that was his choice to replace him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he'd be great on The Voice.
Get Neil McCoy to do it.
He would be great on
The Voice. He would,
wouldn't he? Yeah, Shenandoah, Eddie Rabbit, I mean, open for Kenny Chesney in Owensboro at the barbecue festival.
Oh!
When his first record...
He's playing bigger venues now, by the way.
I'd like to open for him again. It wouldn't be the River Park Center at Owensboro. It would be Nissan Stadium now, right?
That's amazing.
That'd be a good gig.
John Brennan is our guest. We're going to feature, and people on our Circle streaming platforms will see it. The radio audience will hear it all over the world. True story. So is this a true story?
It is a true story. It's about my mom and dad and their struggle to be successful as a young couple and provide a great life for their kids. And my dad's gone on to heaven from colon cancer. But the great thing about this music video is twofold. One is that on Friday it starts on CMT. So I made the leap finally from MTV to CMT.
Yay!
After 32 years. But the Nashville Film Institute are our students that created this video, and so it was an assignment.
Oh, that's neat!
And they did an amazing job, and they changed the storyline a little bit to where the husband actually dies in the line of fire as a policeman. So the song's about my mom and dad, but the videos, they took a few liberties, but it's amazing.
More Coffee, Country, and Cody is on WSM.
Applause pouring in for John Brennan's appearance on Coffee, Country, and Cody this morning. So you mentioned earlier you're driving Uber. I also saw a People magazine article about your Uber driving.
And yeah.
There was also, are you still pastoring, or was that, there a stint in your career?
I started leading music in churches, and then... You know, I'm a big kid that never really grew up. I was a church rat, so I loved youth group and had wonderful leaders mentoring me while I was growing up. So naturally, they were like, by the way, we also need a youth pastor. They're usually, dual role people. And so I was a worship pastor.
Bivocational.
Yeah. The fancy word for it.
Yes.
Fancy word for you're going to do everything that we say.
That's right. Yeah.
So the preacher doesn't have to.
Yeah. So I was the song leader, worship pastor, music minister, whatever you want to call it, and youth pastor for about the last 23 years. And
where was this?
Well, in Kentucky, in Alabama, in Florida, in East Africa, back to Alabama.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah, and so a couple of years ago, I just said, you know what? You better get back to Nashville if you...
Because it's a mission field, brother.
Well, I got some goals here that I never finished. Yeah. Nashville's the Bible Belt, though. This is such a great place.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What are the goals? Because, there are things, it's like I've had a chance to do a lot of really cool stuff, but I still have a lot of stuff on my bucket list I want
yeah,
to get to.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've done so many amazing things, but there's some really big ones that I haven't really gotten to do. And I haven't headlined Nissan Stadium.
Right.
I haven't become a Grand Ole Opry member. I haven't had a number one song in country music. I just have a lot of music still left to do.
Yeah. He headlined Nissan once.
Did you?
Yeah, with Garth. Mm-hmm. I opened for Garth.
That's a good gig.
Yes. And then we had an Armageddon thunderstorm and there was no Garth.
Oh, I remember
they
that
only
night.
Got to see me.
Did they want their money back?
No.
Charlie's still upset.
Well, John, look at it this way. A man pays $70 to go out to eat, $30 to park, $98 for the tickets. And, I got to see Bill Cody. I mean, I never get that opportunity. So,
money well spent.
Seemed like a good bargain to me. So, yeah. Hey, I got to ask, though, by the time you were hitting big on The Real World, there was a guy named John Brennan.
There sure was.
Who was on Mercury as part of that famous Mercury triple play. How often did your identities get confused?
One year at Country Radio Seminar, in a ballroom not far from where we're sitting, somebody grabbed the two of us and said, we got to get a picture of this.
Oh,
and
that's actually smart.
Yeah, yeah, there was a picture. Yeah. He's John Brennan, and I was John Brennan.
Right.
And so when Toby went to heaven here lately, he came out with Shania Twain and Toby Keith.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of talk again about when Toby Keith first started his career and John Brennan, and I got a lot of phone calls. Toby Keith was, they were showing a clip of Toby Keith talking about you. I'm like, yeah, not me, but fine. Go ahead and believe.
That's fine.
Yeah, me and Toby were tight.
That's right.
I wish.
That's
I wish.
Exactly right.
John Brennan, live on Coffee Country. And Cody, introduce your guitarist.
This is the phenomenal musician, Andy West, and he's actually my roommate.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Good to see you, Andy.
Good to have you, Andy.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting up early and making a trip
in this
morning.
Hey, man, this has been a privilege and a pleasure. Thank you.
We love to have
Please
you.
Please come back.
I sure will.
Do you get to do a lot of witnessing as an Uber driver?
You do. You do. And you're not supposed to talk about controversial things like politics and religion. So I just am heavy on the Jesus, and then I don't talk about politics much.
Do you prefer the back seat to be quiet or talk? Because I love talking
to
the
driver. Oh, I start talking as soon as I get in.
Oh,
hey,
good.
Hey, where are you going?
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Don't you know
okay.
where I'm going? I'm like, yeah, but I thought we'd chat.
Yeah.
I've got the title of an album.
Okay.
Heavy on the Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh.
Spoken into existence by John Brennan.
I love it.
Coffee, Country, and Cody on WSM.
We're going to get some headlines here and then go to the Opry with Wynonna.
We are doing full entertainment.
Okay. All right. Yes, again, delightful to have John Brennan.
I love him. Isn't he great?
Yes.
Absolutely. Owensboro boy. All the Owensboro people are always incredible. I can stand by that.
And there's one right there. Sort of, kind of. Kelly Sutton. She did some time in Owensboro.
Sure did. Bought my first house in Owensboro.
Did you? No kidding.
We got married in Owensboro.
What'd your first house cost?
Oh, gosh. I want to say it was like less than $90,000.
Yeah, ours was too. I think ours was $90,000.
It was little. First house we bought. This was a little house. It was really, really cute though. She had redone it and it had been all updated and the basement and all. It was adorable. Big backyard.
It was either 90 or 99. I want to say it was 90. And they maybe knocked it off to 89,
995. Oh, good deal right there. Who famously was going to lower the speed limit to 54.99 or something like that?
Kinky Friedman.
That's what it was, yeah.
Said if he had been elected mayor of Kerrville, he was going to take the posted speed limit of 70 and make it 69.99.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that would have gone over pretty well, I think.
Yes, Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys. Remember? Yeah. Leroy Parnell was in that band.
Was he really?
Yes.
Well, there's something I think that's amiss about that, but okay. All right, well, we are talking about a beautiful story. I mean, we all love and, you know, think Kelsey Ballerini hung the moon, and she is such a sweetheart, and this just goes to prove it even more. So there was a lady that was coming to the Grand Ole Opry. She and her husband both had tickets to come, and sadly, her husband passed away before they could make it to a Grand Ole Opry appearance. Kelsey Ballerini had seen the video that this lady, her name is Ash, had posted. He was in a helicopter crash. Mm-hmm. So it was just devastating, and you know, she posted about it and said, you know, one day we'll get there. And so Kelsey not only got her to the Opry, but then met her backstage. We've got a little sample of the video, and now people are talking about it. It's gone completely viral. So take a look.
On TikTok, I got tagged in this video. This amazing, beautiful woman named Ash was telling her story. Her husband had gotten her tickets to see me at the Opry last year. Right before that show, he passed away. I just really want to give her a hug to be able to represent a happy moment, to be able to kind of make it come full circle it's a gift to me.
She cared so much to spend time with me and just to acknowledge my husband's existence. This was another act of love from him.
Held by this house. What a great line that is from Kelsey.
That
I hope she feels held by this house.
I hope she puts that line in a song. Mm-hmm. But it was just absolutely incredible that she got to meet her. And of course, Kelsey just took the time to love on her. And we love you, Ash. And we're so glad that your husband was over defending our freedoms. He was deployed when he was killed in that helicopter crash.
And yeah, I was going to say, for people listening on radio who didn't see it, they're in their 20s, maybe?
Young.
The upper 20s.
Young. Yeah. Beautiful lady. So I'm so glad. And Kelsey, thank you for taking such good care of her when she came to the Opry. Well, we have new music. We've been talking about all these new songs that have come out. And one that we haven't talked about yet is new music from Randy Travis. This was one of those headlines that came out over the weekend and everyone looked at each other like, how? How did this happen? So a new song, it's Randy's voice, and it has been created through the use of AI. And we talk so much about AI and how it's being used or misused. And I found a quote from Chris Lacey, who's the head of Warner. And I absolutely love Chris. She's amazing. But she said, you know, we thought about how could AI be used for the good? Like, what would be a good use of that? And she said, a good use of AI would be to give Randy his voice back. And so they've now had a song. It's out. Take a listen.
Ooh.
I mean, can you even? It gave me chills the first time I heard it. Now, James Dupre, who we know and love, actually recorded this song. It's a Scotty Emmerich song and
John Scott Sherrill.
Mm-hmm. And he recorded it, but it was never released. So I think that's kind of where the idea came from, because James has that same register and tone.
And did Randy, and if did you will, Randy, out on the road, toured, singing Randy songs with the blessing of Mary and Randy.
Right. So I think that they knew it would fit. Mm-hmm. It would fit something that would be something that Randy would sing. So they went in and used AI to generate his voice. But then apparently it took months for them to tweak it so that it sounded human and that it sounded like him.
It sounded, you might remind me of Look Heart, No Hands.
So the interesting question is, what's next? Do we get do we get new Elvis songs? Do we get new John Lennon songs? Do we get new George Harrison songs?
Are we
do we get Keith Whitley songs?
I know. So it's there's a lot of questions. And I mean, there was a lot of talk about this over the weekend. I mean, I think the thing that is so special about this is it was with Randy's blessing, and that he was there every step of the way. And that he said, this was really special that I had a chance to create again. Because, you know, he cannot speak or sing the way that he used to after that stroke that he had years ago, but his mind is still there, and he's still as creative as ever. So to have an outlet for someone.
And I think Tennessee, Governor Lee and Tennessee, the legislature, they were on the, for us, and I think probably because Nashville being Nashville and the recording hub and the entertainment hub that it is, were on the cutting edge of some legislation to protect, at least in Tennessee. Now, not every state, I guess each state will have to do it on their own. And it just brings a great debate about the future.
But, you know, and Lainey Wilson was very vocal about they had used her voice to help promote some weight loss gummies, and it wasn't her. She never signed off on it. So she has been on the opposite side of the spectrum. But using AI for good, this is an example of using
AI. You saw a LeBron post the other day. You said LeBron has lost his mind. Well, what's going on?
The deepfakes. I mean, the videos are, I mean, it's pretty scary. Yeah. And that's only going to get better, that technology. Yeah. It's not going to get worse. It hasn't plateaued for sure.
This is Coffee Country and Cody.
I learn something every time I sit at the foot of the master known as Charlie McCoy.
Yeah.
And I just learned that fellow Hall of Famer Fred Foster never attended any of the sessions, the 14 records that you did under his tutelage. And what was his, what did he say to you?
He said, go on, you know what you're doing. But you know what? He had some instincts about things, like when Seeley did Don't Touch Me. He came out and he said, I was playing bass. Buddy Harmon was playing drums. And he said, could you slow it down ever so slightly? And Buddy Harmon looked down at me and he said, you can already eat a sandwich between downbeats.
Oh, that's a great line. But
Fred had great instincts about things like that.
So it was his ears?
Yeah.
I mean, he knew.
Yep. And then that look at the artists he discovered and signed, you know. I was there when he was first had 19-year-old Dolly walk in and play a song for
him. And, you know, Fred told me that Chet had heard her and passed on her.
Yeah.
Because he didn't particularly like her sound.
I know.
And he said, I remember him telling, he said, if you think about all the artists I signed in those early days, they were all so different. Christofferson.
Well, and Son gave up on Orbison.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know? And he found his voice with Fred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you find yourself with Charlie McCoy on Coffee Country and Cody this morning, performing at Sunday Morning Country, June 9th, Grand Ole Opry House, where you are a proud, proud member. How old were you when you became a member?
Of
the Opry.
It was last year, 82. No, this, 2023.
Yes.
Yeah. I know, because the day I was made a member, that was Rhonda Vincent's birthday.
Oh, way to steal her thunder. I like it.
Yeah.
You talked about the fact that, so you were 80 what?
I was 82.
82.
Yeah.
And the truly career highlight happened.
This has been the icing on my cake. Mm-hmm. It surely has. The team out there is so great. Everybody. I'm talking about stagehands, sound men, you know, everybody. The team is so great, and they do such a great job of including such a wide range of talent and people, and it's just, and the band and the singers, oh my gosh. Well, they're all studio musicians. I think six of them have played on my albums. And, you know, if we rehearse a song one time, that's all. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't rehearse at all. And those guys are so good.
This from
and,
a Hall of Famer. You played on, how many records do you have out now, albums, you said?
47.
Ooh.
And three EPs.
Wow. Musical director at Hee Haw for how many years?
13 years music director. I was on the show longer than that, but and you know, that's
where you playing the tuba or the baritone or something on there.
I played a tuba on a record by Roy Clark called the something about the some old polka, some kind of an old polka. But I played a baritone sax on Pretty Woman. I played trumpet on Everybody Must Get Stoned by Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. Bass harmonica on The Boxer, Simon and Garfunkel.
Your first session was Ann Margaret. What did you play on that?
Harmonica.
Okay.
And that at the end of that session, Bob Moore walked over to me and he said, "You free Friday?" Wow. I was free the rest of my life.
Yeah.
He said, "Come back here, we're recording Roy Orbison." Whoa, I was a huge fan of Roy Orbison already. We did the record Candyman. And when that record hit the radio, my phone started ringing. This month will make 63 years of studio work.
Wow. And over 15,000 sessions, you
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, and I'm still working, y'all.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Give him a call. He'll put out the number here in a minute.
How often now do you find yourself with an artist in Europe and you MP3 or WAV file your harmonica pod? Does that happen?
I'm sorry. One of my byproducts of this is 63 years of studio work. I don't hear that well, so
Kelly will translate for me. She'll take New England into Southern.
When you record a lot of your parts, do you just send them over to, especially if you're working with somebody overseas, do you just email?
Yeah. The one good thing about the new technology is that you can record from anywhere.
Right.
However, I prefer the old way to be in the room with everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I started in 61 was a Man Margaret session. You were making the record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if one guy messed up real bad, everybody had to do it again, and nobody wanted to be that guy.
Right.
Nobody'd say anything, but they'd give you a look, you know.
Did you know, Charlie, after you heard so many songs, could you tell when you walked out, like, that one's going to be a hit?
We had feelings about records. I felt that way about He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Yeah.
Everybody in the room did. And Pretty Woman. Mm-hmm. I felt that way about Pretty Woman. And there was a few that we felt that way about. It never happened.
And it didn't happen. Okay.
Wasn't your harmonica a Billy Sherrill afterthought because he thought you'd left the building and he told you to just go in there and get something on that second verse?
He forgot that they'd booked me on the session. And so they ran the song with Billy playing piano because Pig Robbins was the piano player. And, you know, Pig was blind. But he hear a song once and he's got it.
Okay.
He was so great at that. Yeah. So he sat and played the song while George sang it. And then he got up and said, "Okay, I'm going to go in there and let's hear it on microphone." So as he walked by me, he stopped and he said, "Get something on the second verse." That was...
Okay.
Country music history.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
There it is. Well, this June 9th Sunday morning country show at the Opry House is hosted by Brenda Lee. When did you first work with her?
That show goes way, way back for me because it happened when I was still on Hee Haw with Joe Babcock. Joe Babcock was the leader of the Nashville Edition, who was a background group on Hee Haw, and he was one of the founders of Sunday Morning Country. And he got me on there. Now, Hee Haw went, I think the last season was 93, maybe, something like that, 92, 93. And before that is when Joe booked me on the first Sunday Morning Country. And I haven't done all of them because through the 90s and early 2000s, I was going to Europe a lot in the summer. But I've worked quite a few of them, including the last three or four in a row.
When would you have worked in the studio with Brenda Lee first? Do you recall that? Like in the studio?
In the studio?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
No, when Brenda is hosting this event, when would you two have worked together in the early years?
It was in the early 60s. But, I came to town. Mel Tillis heard me sing rock and roll. I don't know. He may have had a beer or something. And he said, come to Nashville. I'll get you on records. The day after high school, I came to Nashville, went to his office. The receptionist said, Mel's out of town, but I'll let you talk to his boss. And it was Jim Denny, Cedarwood Publishing. And I started to talk to him, and he said, Mel told me about you. You want some auditions? Duh. Yes.
He ran the Opry, too.
So I auditioned for Chet Atkins and Owen Bradley. I did not know who they were.
Oh,
playing
wow.
The guitar, singing Johnny Be Good. And they both said, well, you're pretty good, but we don't do this kind of music here. Then Owen invited me to watch a session by 13-year-old Brenda Lee.
Ow!
And when I heard the first playback, I said, I don't want to be a singer. I want to do this. And I came back a year later to stay.
Charlie McCoy, Brenda Lee hosts June 9th, Sunday Morning Country, the Isaacs, Larry Gatlin. There's Fred Foster prodigy. William Lee Golden, John Barry, Adam Warner, Cody Norris Show, lots of others. Tickets available. Simply go to Opry.com with Charlie McCoy, Country Music Hall of Famer, Musician Hall of Famer. And 2022, he became a member of the Grand Ole Opry family. Hall of Famer, Opry star Charlie McCoy, Musician Hall of Famer, too. Add that to the list of accomplishments in this incredible life and career. And he's playing Sunday Morning Country. Brenda Lee is hosting that. And Charlie will be there June 9th, Grand Ole Opry House, Opry.com for tickets with the Isaacs, Larry Gatlin, William Lee Golden, John Barry, Adam Warner, Cody Norris, and many more.
And if you're making plans, Sunday Morning Country is in the afternoon. So just to make sure, I think it's at 4 o'clock.
It's right? called Musician Standard Time.
That's right.
Heard Kathy Mattea say that once.
Musician Standard Time. I like that.
And the pride of Oak Hill, West Virginia. And you tell so beautifully the story and accompany it with music at the Grand Ole Opry. But tell us what's famous about Oak Hill and country
I was
music.
Born in Oak Hill, and Oak Hill is it's just a little small town in the middle of coal mine country. But it's right beside the New River Gorge. And if people don't know what the New River Gorge is, it's the best-kept secret in America. The New River starts on the east side of the Appalachians and empties into the Ohio. The way it does that, it cut a 40, 50-mile gorge through the mountains over hundreds of years. And it's 900,000 feet deep. And the river runs through there. It's got a lot of whitewater on it, and it's now become a big business there, whitewater rafting. But on January 1st, 1953, Hank Williams' chauffeur stopped 6 in the morning at the only gas station open, filled up, and, coffee and something to eat, and wanted to see if Hank needed anything, and Hank was gone. They took his body to the hospital for confirmation. That's the hospital I was born in. And then the local funeral home came to prepare the body to send it to Montgomery, Alabama. My mother was friends of the owners of that funeral home. Now, I was 11 years old. I didn't have a clue who he was. When I came here in 1960, boy, did I found out right away how big he was, how important he was. And think about it, 29 years old. No high school education. The songs he wrote 70 years later are still popular. How many writers can you say that about?
Wow.
Very few.
Charlie McCoy. Now, your family moves to Miami, of all places.
We lived in Miami. I lived there for 10 years. That's where I made most of my musical connections.
So how old were you when you moved there?
9.
Okay.
And I was kind of an anemic kid, the winters were hard and... Anyway, we moved to Miami, and I ended up playing in a country band, playing rock and roll 10 minutes each hour. That's when Mel Tillis heard me. But in the band, the bass player was Johnny Paycheck. The lead singer was Bill Phillips, who opened for years for Kitty Wells and Johnny Wright. The fiddle player was Charlie Justice, who toured with George and Tammy. And the steel player was Bill Johnson, who wrote the song A Wound Time Can't Erase for Stonewall Jackson. And then an occasional performer was Kent Westbury, who became a Nashville Songwriters Association Hall of Fame member, who wrote the Anne Margaret song I played on. And it also was recorded by the Beatles. And he wrote so many hits. Love on a Hot Afternoon by Gene Watson. And I was living with him, and that's how I got into hearing songs. And then he'd say, hey, play your harmonica along with us while they were writing. And that's when he said, I want you to come play on a demo of this. That was the Anne Margaret song.
My favorite part of Love in a Hot Afternoon is when he says a street vendor cries, filet gumbo. That's my favorite part.
So of all the people you've worked with, Charlie, when you meet someone and they start to delve into your career, are Elvis and Bob Dylan two that almost always come up in conversation?
Yes, yeah. Always. And Elvis was such a nice guy. The studio was his, you know, at that time, he couldn't hardly walk out on the streets. Mm-hmm. He would be mobbed. The studio was his safe place. He was surrounded by friends who he respected, mm-hmm. doing what he loved to do. And especially in 1970 when we did the marathon sessions, mm-hmm. I felt like he was really, really relaxed, really happy with what was going on, because it wasn't movie soundtracks where he was being told you record this song and that song and this. It was songs he wanted to do, mm-hmm. and it was great.
When RCA released the full sessions of that a few years ago, there's a great shot of you on the cover, the whole studio band, and there's a 1970 Charlie McCoy on that cover. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then Bob Dylan came here in 65, and he was kind of a very shy person. Didn't have much to say at all, but he recorded the album Blonde on Blonde, which was his biggest. And after that, the floodgates opened for folk rock artists. Mm. I mean, you know, just the Byrds, Peter Paul Mary, Buffy St. Marie, Joan Baez, Gordon Lightfoot, Gino Vanelli. I mean, it went on and on and on and on. And so more musicians got to work, more studios were built, and this town started to explode as a recording center.
Is there somebody you didn't get to work with that you wanted to?
It was fantastic. The people that recorded here, Linda Ronstadt recorded her solo, you know, after she left the group, and it was great.
Charlie McCoy, you ever read your Wikipedia page?
You ever take a
look at your Wikipedia page on the internet?
Says here
you learned to play harmonica in 7 days or your money back. It required a box top from a cereal product plus 50 cents. When the instrument arrived, McCoy found it hard to get any music out of it and lost interest.
Well,
the most recorded harmonica player of all time.
After a day, my mom said, could you take it outside? And I learned it, didn't it? Dogs and cats didn't like it.
But I can understand.
In my teen years living in Miami, late at night, I found this radio station that played Delta Blues. Jimmy Reed, Little Walter, Sonny Boy Williamson. And I thought, wait a minute, that's a harmonica. I can play one of those. I got to learn to do that. And that's when the interest really came on me. Because other than that, I was all about guitar.
Well, in 1969, Merle Haggard and Bonnie Owens wrote a song called Today I Started Loving You Again. And year or so after that, you recorded it, and that was your first foray onto the charts.
And we finally, they finally released it in 71, and it started up the charts very slowly, and it climbed and climbed. And then the album that we made an album for it, and that album won a Grammy. And then the two albums later, we had a number one album. It what a blessing and what a career it's. It's been really special, I'll tell you.
Did you get your walk in this morning?
I did.
How many miles?
3.
See, that's where you're
5:30.
You should aspire to at 82, 83.
Hey, I'm 83, I got to do something.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.